Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, children, we continue the octave, and as well after Mass, the novena of the Immaculate Conception. So the Mass is the same Mass as yesterday, and in this way the Church gives us all sorts of wonderful opportunities to celebrate this feast day, to think about its lessons, and most of all to honor Our Lady, who is conceived without sin. Now, today we have the feast day of a saint who was very much concerned, because he was a parish priest, with sin and what to do about sin. You know some of the effects of original sin, children, which still remain with us, even though our souls have been washed with the waters of baptism, are, for example, ignorance. Adam and Eve were terribly smart. They could learn things just like that, 1, 2, 3. But for us, sometimes it takes quite an effort, doesn't it? That's why all of you need to make an effort to study well, to do your homework, and to get good marks. Another effect of original sin is concupiscence. That means that we're pulled sometimes toward committing sins, which we, in our better moment, wouldn't commit at all, but there you have it. We just go ahead and commit it. So today's saint, Peter Fourier, fought against these things and used some marvelous means to be able to help souls against them. He lived in a part of France called Lorraine, which was a duchy, and had sort of its own version of French, which they spoke. And there, as a young man, he went to the Jesuit schools, and then after that, he became a canon regular following the Augustinian rule. And in his abbey of canons regular, I'm afraid that nobody was too canonical or regular. And he made his very best efforts to get the canons to be good and to say their office and to observe their vows. And everyone just made fun of him. So if you try to be good, if you try to be pure, if you try to observe the commandments, to be respectful, to be kind or charitable, expect this. Others will laugh at you and make fun of you. Doesn't make any difference. You're doing the right thing, not those who are breaking God's commandments and bringing tears to our Blessed Mother's eyes. Well, eventually, after living in his abbey and taking care of the church there for a number of years as a young priest, he was offered his choice of 3 parishes where he could go and be the pastor and then live on his own. Well, he chose the parish of Matancourt because it was the poorest and the most difficult. But as the curé of ours was very happy to have his parish, which was in a similar state a few centuries later. Well, he went there and he did his very best. He really organized the parish and he helped everybody in every way possible. He started a bank and he started sort of like an insurance fund in effect, or an insurance company, and he even had a kind of a court so that if somebody broke the law, they could go to see the priest and they could work out something that would be equitable and fair. And so he ruled over his parish as the Pope King used to rule over the Papal States in temporal matters as well as spiritual. And everybody was very happy under his rule because he was a truly holy priest. He really was a saint. Now, in the parish, he had 2 groups he had to deal with. One was the Protestants, the Calvinists, who had been there for quite a while now and had broken away from the Catholic faith. And the other was the Catholics, who lived like pagans. How is he going to reach them and help them out? Well, he did 2 things. First of all, he tried to start a boys' school, but it didn't work. It was a big flop. And so, never one to beat a dead horse, he went on. He started a girls' school, which was successful. He had 4 young ladies, and he trained them to be sisters, and he trained them in good methods of how to teach. It's called pedagogy, and they became the canonesses regular of Our Lady, which was a great order at one time in Europe. And they operated girls' schools for free. That was sort of the big thing, because poor people didn't have any money for schools, and so he didn't charge any money for the girls. and that they were able then to have a very good influence to help these girls. And he insisted that the sisters teach them how to do accounts, for example, not only arithmetic, but how to keep books. You could keep your accounts if you worked for a store or for a business, and how to write a good letter. How not only to know the grammar, but to use the grammar in good language, so that these young ladies would be prepared to teach others if they needed to have a good job if they needed to do that as well. He had a lot of foresight. This father did, Father Peter Fourier. Then he realized that something had to be done for those poor Protestants. So he, because it was a parish school, he let the Protestants come to his school, and he told the sisters and the children never tease the Protestants or call them names. He didn't even call them heretics, although they were. He would refer to them as les étrangers, the strangers in our midst. And he was very discreet and delicate, but still, he taught the children the Catholic truth, and they began to see the error of their ways. Last of all, he was able to reform his parish by teaching children as well as adults by having a kind of a theater. This was in the age, children, when there wasn't any radio and there wasn't any TV, and thank God there wasn't any internet, anything like that, it just wasn't. And so, if a priest offered some kind of an entertainment, everybody was interested. Even the strangers and the bad people would come. So sometimes in church, as St. Louis de Montfort did, and sometimes, when it wasn't raining or anything, outside of church, they would set up a stage and they would have a kind of a drama or a play. And St. Peter would write these to teach his ever so important lessons to the people, the bad living Catholics, the children, the adults, and the strangers or the heretics. They would all come. The plays were a little bit like the plays that the older children here have done the last couple of years during Lent. But they were acted very well with a lot of spirit. And everybody was just glued, not to the screen, but to the stage. And they could see what was really going on. And they learned many and important lessons. For example, let me read to you, as we conclude today, let me read to you a little bit of the play that he put on once about penance and a potential penitent. In other words, someone who was thinking maybe of going to confession and doing penance, but he hadn't made up his mind yet. So penance comes, and penance is met by the question, "Who are you?" And he says, "Well, I am penance. What do you want?" "I want to lead people from the path of ruin to salvation." "Can you really do that?" "Yes, to the merit of the precious blood of Jesus Christ." "Well, have you ever set anyone back on the right path?" "Yes, and several of them have become great saints, among them King David, Saint Peter, Saint Mary Magdalene, and Saint Mary of Egypt." "Well, if you had so much power, why don't you bring back Dives?" Remember Dives, or the rich man in the story of Lazarus. "Why don't you bring back the rich man and other unfortunates who are now in hell? They didn't look for me, and I don't force any sinner against his will. But I hear you prescribe sackcloth and fasting and a very hard life. That's why most people are afraid of you." "True, I myself do these things," said Penance, "but I don't force anyone who isn't able to imitate me, and I don't do violence to anyone. But some who love me occasionally wring these tortures from me and try to possess them in spite of me." In other words, Penance says you don't really have to go to such extremes to practice penance, just the little things of daily life. And confession, that would be enough. "Well," the potential penitent asks, "don't people encounter great difficulty when they undertake such things?" "Oh," penitent says, "no, not at all. Whatever comes from me is as sweet as bread from heaven. A person finds more satisfaction there than in all of the pleasures of this world." "I think I might like some of that heavenly bread," says the potential penitent, "but I'm afraid to ask you for it." "Talk to my sisters," penitent says. "Who are your sisters?" "Well, let's see. I have three sisters, and one is named Confession, and one is named Contrition, and one is named Satisfaction. Listen to what these girls say. Believe them, and shortly your courage will rise to embrace what you now fear and all that is good. And that way, both the adults and children, the bad people, and the strangers in the parish learned a wonderful lesson about penance, which we should learn and put into practice today. Our Blessed Mother had no need to do penance, children. She was immaculate. And yet, she did great penance every day of her life for us poor sinners. Now, we should try at least to get rid of our sins and our habits of sin by doing a little bit of penance. Remember, it can be very sweet, just as sweet as bread from heaven. St. Peter Forrier, pray for us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.